In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing a Christmas story that I began yesterday called Davy's Christmas. This was written by my great aunt Annie Trumbull Slosson in New England dialect of about 100 years ago. And the part where we left off, we had been talking about this boy of probably maybe 10 years old, maybe a little younger than that, who wanted to help the people in the new town where his family had gone to live to know what Christmas was all about. They were rather poor, but they planned a wonderful Christmas, and they'd cut a Christmas tree, and they had decorated it with silver paper and paper ornaments and as much as they could afford, and sent invitations around to the people. And guess what? The whole house burned down. So the family had moved into the cowshed, and the townsfolk came anyway for the Christmas party because he had never told the people not to come. I think they came because they wanted to see how the house had burned down and all of that. But these people really didn't know what Christmas was all about, and Davy wanted to tell them. And when he got up in front of these people, he suddenly realized that he didn't have a Bible because all the Bibles had been burned up. And his mother said, "But Davy, you know some verses, don't you?" And Davy remembered that the Christmas before, he had recited these verses. "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." At first, says Davy, Jim Bissell laughed, and some of the others joined in and whispered and made fun. But the others stopped him, and in a minute, I see 'twas dreadful still, and only just my voice, pretty shaky, you know, going on with that chapter. When I come to the last one, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother. I heard a little gurgling sound. I didn't dast to turn my head, but I knew 'twas little Joshua taking notice." Joshua was Davy's baby brother. "And just then I heard another queer noise, kind of a choky noise that was, and I see 'twas Cap'n Frink, the man they called the wildest feller in Anderson, though he come from New England and was raised, I've heard, amongst real good people. There was something the matter with his throat, and he was coughing till the water come into his eyes, and that interrupted me a mite. But in a minute, I went over to Luke, And I says that part about the shepherds and the baby lying in the manger on account of there not being any room in the inn, you know. Then I stopped. And I thinks to myself, oh, if I only had the melodeon and the books with the carols. A melodeon is a little organ. Just then, Mother says softly again, can't you sing Baby's Hymn, Davy? Now, I ain't got much ear for music, they say, and I was that scared my voice was croakier than common. I can't turn many tunes, but that one turns itself. I've heard it so many times from Mother when she was holding little Joshua. I used to pick it out with one finger on the melodeon. I says to myself, well, here goes, and at any rate, and I let out. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Well, it was kind of dreadful to hear my own voice and nobody joining in to help me, and I got scarier and shakier till I was just going to break down when all of a sudden I found somebody was helping. There was a real nice, loud, sweet voice singing the words with me and carrying the tune all right, only shaking a little bit, just as mine done. And of all the folks there, who should it be but Lucy Ann Wells, the roughest woman in the whole place that most everybody was afraid of. She had a cross, sharp voice when she talked, but 'twas real sweet and clear and pleasant sounding now. I don't see how she ever knew that hymn, but she did. And she and me sung it right along as far as I knew the words. When we got to the place where it says, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, I see that all the people was looking right over my head and kind of behind me and not at me at all. So when we ended up, Lucy and me, and I dashed to turn around, I done it. There wasn't anything uncommon there, just Mother and the baby. She'd been holding him, and he'd heard us singing his favorite hymn that he went to sleep by regular, and he thought 'twas bedtime, so he dropped off, and Mother laid him down there. Of course, there wasn't any place to lay him but the hay, but that was real soft and comfortable, and he did look real cute laying there with his pretty yeller hair all fuzzy round his little head. And Mother with her nice, dear mothery face, a-leaning over him. Seems if there ain't much more to tell. To this day, I don't get it through my head why they begun to have Christmases themselves after that there in Anderson. If I'd have carried out my plan and had that tree and all, why, I could see how it come about. But when we didn't have any Christmas at all that year, no tree, no presents, no refreshments, no nothing. Well, as I said afore, it beats me how they come to keep Christmas the very next year, and ever since. A lovely story called Davy's Christmas, written by Annie Trumbull Slosson. And I wonder if you remember what the book of John tells us about Christmas. It's not one of the stories that you usually hear in Christmas plays and Christmas programs, but it's extremely important. It says in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and that word, Word, is capitalized. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And do you know, children who are listening to me, who that light was and who that word is? I think you know that it was Jesus. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. You remember that there wasn't any room in the inn, was there, when his parents got to Bethlehem? Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word, who was Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what the Christmas story is about. Jesus, who was God, who made the worlds, humbled himself and became a helpless baby. That's how much God loved us. He became a helpless baby. And some of you children that are listening to me perhaps have a brand new little baby brother or sister. You know how helpless that tiny one is, don't you? Jesus was like that. He did that for you and me. He loved us. He came into the world. He was born, he grew up, and he was killed, wasn't he? Hung on a cross. But then he rose again from the dead. That is what the story of Christmas is the beginning of.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.